This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
The Niners pass rush was funny.
Yeah, really funny.
Because the Houston Texans offensive line is not good, but they were on Sunday.
Juwan Jennings dropping a 60-yard bomb ski right to him.
If you can't laugh, then what are we doing here? So let's bring in the man with the laugh. He is also the man with the tape and the eyes and the NFL films and all of that. And he joins us every single Wednesday right here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game, on the River Islands guest line, on YouTube as well. It is none other than the great Greg Cosell. Hi, Greg, what's up today?
I'm just listening to you guys, so I'm wondering what funny means. Is this like funny in Goodfellas with Joe Pesci?
Yeah. Totally.
What kind of funny are we talking about here?
Like funny,
like a clown?
Yeah, exactly.
Like a clown?
No, yeah. Better watch your back.
Let's hope this conversation doesn't end like that did in Goodfellas, you know?
Yeah. Hey, dance that drink over to me, Cosell.
Right.
You got to be careful who you make fun of, Greg. That is true. I've learned that lesson before, and I made fun of the Houston Texans offensive line, and I learned my lesson, didn't I?
Well, who would have thought, based on what he'd done prior to this game and a good part of last season, that Stroud would play arguably the best game he's played, or looked the best, I should say, looked more like he did in this rookie season than he has in a very long time. These are the things you never know in the NFL, which is why it's a week-to-week league, and you can't make bold, definitive judgments based on one game as if that's the way of the world.
And when you watch the tape, Greg, and the thing that I was trying to look at in my second and third watching is the marriage of the pass rush to the coverage. What did you see from the Niners about their defense? It felt to me like when they brought coverage or they brought pressure, the coverage was playing soft. What did the tape show you?
I think that's fair because they were very aggressive with their pressure because I think they knew that they couldn't get there with four. And obviously the inability to rush the quarterback has been something we've talked about all season long with their down four. So they rushed five or more on 15 of Stroud's 42 dropbacks, which is a very high percentage for them. And there were times where the coverage on the outside was off coverage is what we would call it. You can call it soft, but it was off coverage. So it presented a clean, quick throw. So the pressure was not really a factor. And Stroud obviously was outstanding against blitz because of the coverage. I mean, he was 11 for 14 for 141 yards when the Niners rushed five or more. And on third down versus blitz, he was 6 for 6 for 81 yards. And 5 of those 6 completions resulted in first downs, which is the most important stat, obviously, getting a first down on third down. So, yeah, there were relatively easy throws that were available when they did pressure.
Greg, I'd love to dig even a little bit more into that defensive line because Bryce Huff is going to miss again this week. The Niners have made a couple of, I guess you would call them, more minor acquisitions. Cleveland Farrell is back to the practice squad. He's been on the Niners before. And then they went and got Keon White from the Patriots. Is this just a situation, though, where the personnel has been so stripped that we just, I mean, are we at a spot where we can't really expect much from that group?
You know, again, like I said, in the NFL, you never know week to week, but they do not really have a pure pass rusher, either inside or outside. So I don't want to sit here and say, oh, God, they'll never be able to rush the quarterback, because you never know what a given game produces. But they do not have people right now who can do that, who can win one-on-one, for instance. They brought in Keon White. I remember evaluating him coming out of Georgia Tech for the 2023 draft. I thought he was a strong power type player. I didn't think that he was a pure natural pass rusher. So we'll see. They're looking for bodies. I mean, they're looking for warm bodies, guys. They just need people up front that ideally can maybe present some kind of pass rush pressure. That's what they're looking for right now. They obviously didn't give up a lot to get him. He's still a young player. Maybe he develops into a quality player. I'm not sure, though, that he's that the strength of his game is a pure pass rusher.
And beyond that, they do need to find a way to shore up the run. And I'm looking at, you know, a play in the second half where they had a couple of guys in the secondary, Green and Stout, not be able to set the edge, and you don't have Bosa there. Is the run defense on the edge as much of a problem as the pass rush?
Well, you know, it's funny. I actually didn't think there were a couple of plays in this game. And by the way, this game just got away from them early with the combination of the long drives. Obviously, that's a function of the defense. And then the offense, because they just struggled on a couple of drives early, the game just totally snowballed. It became one of those games. I mean, they ran so few plays. This was a game where I'm not saying you don't look at the offensive tape. Coaches and I did, obviously, look at everything and try to improve on everything. But the game offensively just got away. But in the first half, I didn't think their run defense was bad. In fact, I thought they were pretty physical up front with the run defense. And then once the game gets away, it becomes a different game. And then, did it seemingly get closer? You know, when he hit Kittle for the touchdown on the first drive in the third quarter, was there that moment when you thought, hey, we had a ball game? But they never really were in control in any way of this game. It was one of those games. It snowballed.
No question. Let's go to the other line, because people had almost an equal number of problems on that side. And I get that the Houston Texans pass rush is really, really good. Can we explain it that simply, Greg? Or is there anything that stood out on the offensive line performance from the 49ers that certainly could use correcting?
Well, look, I've felt this all along watching tape. I don't know how the 49ers feel. You know, certainly Chris Forster is a lot smarter than I am when it comes to offensive line play. But I've always believed that Colton McKivitz was a liability in one-on-one pass protection. And there are going to be matchups in which that gets exposed. And it's just that's the reality. To my way of thinking, having watched every Niners play for – I don't know, 10 years, however long I've been doing things in your market. So, you know, this was a game where he's facing arguably as good a speed to power pass rusher as there is in the National Football League in Will Anderson. He's one of the most dominant speed to power pass rushers. And when he has space to generate speed and velocity, he is really tough for a tackle to anchor with a firm base and control him. And I think McKevitz, you know, was exposed a couple of times in this game. The entire line, I mean, Colby, I believe, got benched in this game, did he not? He was struggled in pass protection as well, the rookie from Iowa. He probably hasn't faced, you know, a D-line like this. He probably didn't face that in the Big Ten. So, you know, this was not a good matchup for them. Now, you don't know what would have happened if the game played out differently. I thought that McCaffrey, there were a couple of runs where I thought he gained 7, 8, 9 yards. Obviously, he couldn't carry the ball very much. They only ran 40-plus plays, which in an NFL game is absurd. And in the first half, I think they ran 15 plays, which is nuts. So there was no way for the offense to establish any rhythm. And when that happens, it makes each individual play magnified. And if it doesn't work, you go, oh, God, something's really wrong here. They stink. Whereas if you're running a lot of plays, one play does not seem anywhere near as important.
Exactly, and they had no chance in the first half to really run much. I'm wondering what your thoughts are, Greg, about the movement in the league now toward offenses going with six offensive linemen, and whether or not the Niners can, with their two tight end set, replicate that and be successful in that way.
Well, the Niners, look, they've been a 21 personnel offense for years, and Juszczyk is a movable chess piece. He lines up all over. So it's not, you know, he can be a tight end as well. I don't think Kyle's going to go away from playing 21 personnel. They do play 12 at times, but yeah, a lot of teams have started to use more six O-line personnel. Now, there are pros and cons to that, guys. Don't just assume because more teams are doing it, and clearly the numbers reflect that, that it automatically is a great thing for every single team. Because don't forget, you're removing a guy as an eligible receiver. So pretty much when teams go to six offensive linemen, they do it to run the football. For the high percentage of those plays are run plays. So do the Niners need a sixth offensive lineman when they have, when healthy, one of the absolute best blocking tight ends in the game in George Kittle? They probably don't. It probably doesn't really benefit them, and it takes away from what they can do in the pass game.
I just wonder why they didn't do more 22. And in fact, the only time they went to 23 personnel, they scored a touchdown with Tonjes. Did that surprise you that they didn't use more Tonjes and Farrell?
Yeah, that was in the low red zone, and that was later in the game. You know, I think in terms of the way they want to play and control games, and this game got away in many different areas, mostly because of their defense, I don't think that they want to be doing that. I think they want to have the really good mix of run and pass, have players that have movement, because Kittle, in addition to McCaffrey, Kittle is a pre-snap movement player in their offense. When their offense is playing correctly and doing what Kyle Shanahan wants, they're a very high percentage pre-snap movement team, and you don't really do that with a sixth offensive lineman.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, his weekly visit here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. Greg, what did you think of Mac Jones' performance?
It was a hard game for Mac Jones because of the way it played out. You know, obviously they had to throw probably more than they wanted to at a pretty early juncture in the game. So Jones really could not find any consistent rhythm in this game. I thought they were too often. He looked like he was playing fast. There was one particular route though that worked a number of times, and that was the outcuts versus the Texans' predominant two shell coverage concepts. There were four or five of those plays where he threw basically they were high low concepts outside the numbers. That was an area where they worked pretty well, but it was just the kind of game, guys, where there was no way to get into with them, because in the second half you pretty much had to throw all the time, and that's not Mac Jones, and that's not the way they want to play. That's not the way they're built to play.
Okay, Greg, I'm going to dip my toe into the speculative waters here. Okay, so just, you've been warned. But we're sitting, we're having a conversation here today because Kyle Shanahan's press conference earlier today, there were little to no questions at all about, like, what's going on at quarterback with the injuries and who's going to play this week. And I found it very, very odd. And maybe one of the things we're playing with is that maybe Mac has played well enough to where people are, like, blasé about this. Do you see the potential return of Brock Purdy as something that would significantly, at least potentially, elevate this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think Brock Purdy is a better quarterback than Mac Jones. So, yes, I do. I mean, in the context of this offense, stylistically, they're similar. But I think Purdy is better. Now, Mac Jones is a guy that was a first-round pick, and this, as we've discussed a number of times, this style of offense plays to what Mac Jones is, but as it does with Purdy. But I just think Purdy's better. Now, I don't know where Purdy's injury stands. I don't know if he's playing this week. I guess none of that's been discussed by Kyle or the team. It's Wednesday. They don't have to make a public announcement. You know, obviously, people will get a sense of what Purdy does in practice, but Kyle is not required to make a public announcement about it. But I think Purdy is a better quarterback than Mac Jones, yes.
Yeah, and we'll find out if he plays on Sunday or not. The thing coming up on Sunday, Greg, that fascinates me is you've got the number 32 rushing offense in yards per carry against the number 32 rushing defense in yards per carry. The Giants defense, the Niners offense, Something's got to give, Greg. Which one do you favor on a Sunday matchup?
Well, I think the Niners, look, we saw what happened the week prior with McCaffrey. This game, I don't want to say you throw it out, but this game is not a good barometer to judge where the 49ers run game is. They're going to come out. My guess is they're going to look to run the ball. They're going to try to get back to the way they want to play. You know, they're playing a young quarterback who has brought energy and excitement, but the reality is at this point in his career, you know, Dart is in the situation where, and this was a phrase I learned from Ron Jaworski years and years ago, but I think it's true. I think Dart showed that against the Eagles this week in particular. I think he's playing fast with unfocused eyes and seeing everything but really seeing nothing. So there's not a lot of clarity to his game right now. Now, he brings energy. He can make plays with his legs. That's the issue you got to deal with because he is very quick to drop the ball down and leave the pocket because he doesn't see it really clearly unless the primary immediately is open. So you have to make sure that you have a plan for dealing with Dart with his legs, particularly on third down.
Greg, it's interesting that you bring up his vision. Kyle did talk about that today and referred to Jackson Dart's vision as, quote, pretty elite. Would you agree with that?
I would not, based on film study. I mean, Kyle Shanahan obviously knows more than I, but I'm always leery of you know, press conferences. There's no reason to say anything negative about right. someone that so, you're going to play in a press conference. So I based on tape study, I would not see Jackson Dart at this point in time that way.
Okay, well, then what do you see as far as, you know, as this particular matchup and where the weaknesses are?
Well, I think the Giants – first of all, they lost Scadabo, so they have Tyrone Tracy and Singletary as their backs. They're still going to have to try to run the football. They're not going to ask Dart to drop back by choice 40 or 45 times. But I think the key thing with Dart is the legs. You know, he's made a lot of plays with his legs, and he's an excitable player, and it gets people jacked up. So that, to me, is the number one thing. And you don't want to give him clean, defined throws because if it's clean and defined for him, because he's a young quarterback that I don't believe sees the whole picture well, then he can make the throws. You know, he's got a good arm and he can throw it. But I think that, you know, the 49ers pass rush is not all of a sudden going to be great, more than likely. So, you know, now you're getting into how do you mesh what you do up front with what you mesh on the back end so that you're not giving him a clear picture.
And they did that against Penix, and it worked, and they tried against Stroud, and it didn't work. Is that the sort of zone dog confusion approach that Robert Saleh can employ, and would that work from what you've seen against Jackson Dart?
Possibly. I mean, look, you know, the bottom line is we saw that they clearly tried pressure this past week. As I said, we talked about that a moment ago with the number of five or more rushers that they had with against Stroud, which is more than Robert Saleh normally does. But, you know, Stroud's game at his best is built purely on timing and rhythm. That's who he is. So he actually got the ball out in this game snap to throw a little quicker than he had through the previous six games of their season. I think they're 3-4 now. So he was quicker in this game. Dart at this moment in time is not that kind of timing and rhythm passer. So again, I'm not going to sit here and say what Robert Saleh's game plan is or should be. I would think, though, that there would be selective pressure concepts in this game because you have a quarterback that's kind of playing fast to begin with. So you want to make him play faster.
Greg, I want to dive into the safety position for the 49ers because some mystery has sort of developed
change,
there,
yeah.
Right? Like they keep changing the pieces and it sort of feels like they're not really happy with any of the pieces. So from Mustafa to Siegel and the rest, what are you seeing back there?
Well, clearly Siegel, he didn't play a snap on defense last week.
Yeah, he got benched.
Starting. What's that?
Yeah, he got benched. Yeah.
Yeah. So Brown and Mustafa played every snap. So my assumption would be that would probably continue to be the case. You know, look, none of us are at practice every day. None of us are in the meetings. I don't know how the coaching staff views these guys. Obviously, they were searching. Look, they played Siegel, a player I liked coming out of Kansas State, a player that I thought had some good moments through the first part of the year. But somewhere along the line, he did not work out for them in the way I think he was playing earlier in the year. So they went with Brown, who at one point was a second-round pick, I believe, and a player I thought would be a really good NFL player, which obviously hasn't happened quite yet. Mustafa is a player I've always liked, and it's clear that they like him too. He played very well last year until he got hurt, and I think he brings a swagger and an attitude to a defense, so I think they really want him out there. So I don't think he's a guy that's going to come out of the lineup. The question is who plays next to him, and as I said, Brown played every snap next to him this week. I guess this past week, we're going to find out this week who plays next to Mustafa.
Yeah, a little bit of mixed results by my eye last week. And I'm fascinated, Greg, by the Giants defense because you got Brian Burns, 10 snacks, sacks, Kayvon Thibodeau.
I'd love 10 snacks.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
Thibodeau has been awesome too against the pass, yet they're the worst run defense in football. When you look at their front, what is wrong with them to where they can't stop the run?
It's a great question because Dexter Lawrence, at his best, is a man and a half. Now, obviously, last week, the numbers jacked up after last week because they gave up, was it over 300 yards rushing, I believe, that they gave up? 276 yards they gave up rushing last week. Both Barkley and Tank Bigsby had over 100 yards.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
They gave up 8 rushes of 10 plus yards. So obviously that jacked up the numbers. And it started with the second play of the game, which was a really well-designed play by the Eagles that kind of set up a 65-yard touchdown by Barkley. But Dexter Lawrence at his best is a top 3 defensive tackle in the league and a load to handle. You know, they are playing with a bunch of guys who've been throughout the league on a number of teams, like Nunez Roches, Robertson Harris. I guess you have to have two names to play on their defensive front.
Totally. Flanagan Fowles, former Niner.
Right. But, so they're playing with guys that have been throughout the league. They're solid rotational guys, but they're not necessarily, you know, guys you probably want playing 50, 60 snaps a game. And, you know, Burns is a really good player, but he's a pass rusher. You know, I think that they're trying to figure out the interior of their D-line, who can play with Lawrence and really give them the best opportunity to be an effective run defense.
Greg, before you go, we got a text message from a listener on our Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line that says, you guys do realize CMC has lost a step, right? Greg, your reaction?
I didn't think he lost a step the week prior when he gained 129 yards, and I didn't think he'd lost a step on a lot of passes that he catches and looks pretty darn good. Even one late in the game this past week, I thought he looked pretty good. It was a 25-yarder or so. So I think that's easy to say because of the results, but I'm not willing to say that for sure. I think there's too many plays where he looks pretty much the same to me. You know, don't forget, he hasn't had a really long run this year. So once you have access to that result, it's easy to say that. You know, there were people saying that about Saquon Barkley. Yep. And he broke off a 65-yard touchdown this week. He hadn't had a 20-plus-yard run all season until that 65-yarder. And now people are saying, oh, no, he hasn't lost a step.
All right, Greg, what are you going to be for Halloween?
I'm always wearing my mask, so I don't need a change.
Come on.
I got a face for radio, guys, so it's okay.
No trick or treating for you?
No. I'm a little past that point.
If you scouted candy,
that doesn't mean that I don't need candy once in a while, but I'm not going to be going door to door to get it.
Well, so, scout your candy.
Yeah, what do you buy too much of so that you've got leftovers, Greg?
Well, I try not to do that because I've got to keep my girlish figure, guys, if you really push me, I can really knock down some Hershey Kisses with no problem.
There you go. Yeah.
The barrier to entry is kind of high, though, on those, Greg. That's the only thing.
Well.
A little wrapper with the little thing coming out of it. Yeah, it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I know. Sometimes you just can't twist it the right way, and it takes a little too long. Yeah.
Well, enjoy it, Greg. Yep. Enjoy the Hershey Kisses, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, there it is. That's Greg Cosell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.